Tonight, let's all find our seat. We'll go and get started. We have some more folks coming here directly, I hope. I hope Monday didn't wear everybody out too bad. I'll tell you, Monday was great. I've done watched the thing twice already since then. I just so enjoyed the whole thing. I've told a bunch of folks about it, and I'm telling you, it was great. You all did a great job. The choir did a wonderful job. We just need to pray for each other and lift each other up. And be faithful this year, I'm telling you. I know, but I made up my mind that I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. I tell you, that was a great message that Brian preached, but that message that Gene Ryle preached was on the money. I'm telling you, that's probably one of the best messages I've ever heard. And I told him so. I told him if he sent me $20, I'll send that out to everybody. No, he did a great job. I appreciate you being here tonight. Let's all get a hymn book. Brother Tim is at home sick. He said right after that, he went to bed Monday night, got to feeling bad, thought he was getting pneumonia. But he's clear, but they've given a bunch of medicine that makes him real drowsy, so he didn't want to try to make the drive. So Brian, his capable assistant, will be leading the music tonight. So come on, let's have a song.
114, let's stand and sing. Tell it to Jesus. Sing it out now.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving, overjoyed, departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend.
Tell something. Don't tell each other. Tell Jesus. Amen. Can you imagine the trouble in the church that would not happen? Folks would tell it to Jesus and not to one another. I've done. That's a great song. Got a great thought to it. And I love that song. Well, good to see you here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the service. Father, we love You and we're so grateful that we could come back to the house of God. Father, we've had a good week here at church. Both services on Sunday, then Monday, both services were great. Here we are again on Wednesday night, Father, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful that I can be in church again, Lord. I love going to the house of God. I'm glad to be here with our people, Father. I pray others will maybe be on their way. But God, I realize that sometimes we get so busy with things, we get too wore out perhaps to be faithful to God's house. Lord, I appreciate these folks being right here. Many of them are here several minutes early just to fellowship, and I appreciate that. Even some who maybe didn't really feel like coming, but they're here, and I appreciate that, and I know You'll bless them for it. I pray, God, You'll bless our folks who are sick, those that could not be here, some that are working or on their way to work, having to go. Lord, I pray that You'll bless them, And Lord, open up. We're grateful, Lord, to have opportunity to show our services on live stream. And God, I heard from so many today who not only were here Monday night, but have had opportunity to pull it back up and look at it again. And God, what a blessing that is. And so I pray that our ministry will be one that'll be worldwide, not in the sense of fame and television. I don't mean that. But I mean just simply being able to give the gospel somewhere around the world, whether it's through the live stream, through our missionaries, or Lord, just through us being faithful to be a witness. So God, we pray you'll bless the service tonight. Somebody here needs something from heaven. And I know I do. I came to get help tonight. So Lord, give us help. We need it. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Again, thank you for being in the service tonight. We'll get right into everything because I'm going to try to refocus my promise to get everybody out here at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. Not only for your sake, but for now Miss Judy's sake. I'm telling you, we have to get up 4:30 in the morning, so I got to get her into bed. So, but anyway, we're not going to cheat God out of His opportunity for us to worship Him. So I don't mean it that way, but you understand. Want to get the kids home and get them ready for school and so on. Anyway, let's pray for some folks this evening. David Aldrich, that is Inez, and that's your Dot's nephew, right? Gene's son. And so is he still in the hospital? Is he at home now? Okay, so pray for him. He had some kidney issues. Brother Alvarado's son, David, pray for him. Julie Wells has her surgery. It's Friday, so pray for her. Austin Spears, Rhonda Hale, Sabine, continue praying for her. We're hoping maybe she'll get to come home next month. And we'll look forward to seeing her. I've missed her not being here. And I know Joaquin has. I'm sure he has. So anyway, you pray for these folks if you would. And we've got, you know, so many folks that are kind of up and down with their health, Miss Bobby and Miss Ramona. And that happens, you know, when you get older. It happens that way. And sometimes it happens that way when you don't get older. So anyhow, we just want to remember these folks because I know they'd be here if they could. But I'm glad that you're here. I appreciate you making the effort to come out this evening. Brian, you got any announcements for us? All right, come on.
All right, well, I guess the only thing I'll give you is just to remind the men to meet here at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, Sewing Saturday. And hopefully have a good number of men go out with us knocking on doors and sharing the gospel. And then we'll be right back here for Sunday services. 9 o'clock prayer room. I wasn't here 2 weeks ago, but last Sunday we had a big increase in the number of men in the prayer room from last time. So let's kind of keep that up, man. So 9 o'clock prayer room, 9:30 Sunday school, of course. Just mark it. Go ahead. That's a good speaker, a good church down there this Saturday. Okay, so if you think you might want to go to that, why don't you see Miss Martha after the service then so y'all can get yourselves organized. That'll be a good thing. Thank you, Miss Martha. Hey, let's everybody stand and turn to 498. We'll do something just a little bit different. 498, this is just a chorus. We're going to do a couple choruses here. Songs about your days being brighter. How about that? We need some of that. 498, everybody know this? Every day with Jesus? Let's sing it out. Maybe pick it up a little bit.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Now, if you remember that message Brother Gurley preached on Monday night, he talked about how a major part of sharing the gospel is just being a joyful light to those around you. And so if you look across the page at 497, how many of y'all know this song a little bit? Right in the corner where you are. We'll just sing the chorus a little bit a couple times. And this is pretty much what Brother Gurley preached on. So let's try to sing that chorus a couple times.
Right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Right in the corner where you are.
Sing it again.
Right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Right in the corner where you are.
You can brighten the corner of the person next to you if you shake hands with them right now.
The ushers come on ahead. We'll take care of the offering this evening, and then Brian can introduce the special. And as we want to spend a few minutes at the end of the service around the altar, Brenda mentioned a lady that her neighbor has a sister named Eleanor. She's an elderly lady, and she's really not doing very well, kind of because she can't do some things. I guess she's kind of backing off a little bit, but she's just not doing well. And so pray for that lady, Eleanor. She's a neighbor, a sister of a neighbor of Brenda. Okay? All right. And like I said, at the end of the service, about 5 minutes till or so, we'll get around the altar and have family altar time. I want to try to do that. I really believe the Lord wants us to do that this year, spend some time at the altar. It is prayer meeting, and that's really what it's for. And so we're going to get a little Bible, and then we're going to get a little prayer. All right? That sounds pretty good. Sounds like a good way to go into the second half of the week. And we all need it. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we ask you to bless the offering now, the gift and the giver. Lord, we're grateful that you're always here for us. I read in Isaiah, where you said many times, I am God and there's none beside me. I'm thankful for that today, Lord, with everything that's going on in our society. Folks always trying to be on top and be in charge and be the boss. I'm glad, Lord, when it's all said and done, there's only one boss in this universe. His name is Jehovah. And I'm glad he's my father, and I'm glad I'm his child. Father, help me to be obedient. Help us, Lord, as Brian told us here just a little bit with that song and for the girl he did Monday night, to be sure we have the joy of the Lord when we go out from this place. Things may not always go like we want them to, but that doesn't mean that the joy of the Lord cannot be present in our lives. So help us, Lord, to be an encouragement to somebody with our lives over the next several days. We love you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
About this real quick. We had a pretty last minute cancellation for our special tonight, so as often is the case when that happens, I started scrambling around because I just sometimes fill in when stuff like that happens. And there was song after song and I was practicing and they just all sounded terrible. I just be honest with you. Has that ever happened to you? Probably not. They all sounded terrible. And I got to thinking, I said, I don't think the Lord wants me to sing tonight because this all sounds terrible. So the Lord placed Jake's name on my heart. So I got in touch with him at very last minute. And he's ready. And not only does I think the Lord want him to sing, I think the Lord wants him to sing something that would help me. So, come on, Jake.
Well, first, I just want to say that I've learned over my short life that there's a lot of things that we can do, but nothing can help us stand up strong for the Lord. And if we lean on Him, He'll keep us where we need to be. Us leaning on Him. Learning to lean, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Set brokenhearted at an altar, I know I found peace that is so serene. And all that He asks is a child like trust and a heart that is learning to lean. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
I think the Lord knows what we need. Get your Bibles out from the pastor.
That's good, Brother Jake. I always enjoy when the kids start to grow up and their voice quality starts to check in. You know, I mean, you can just tell, oh, Jake, he's not a little boy no more. He's a young man. And that voice got that nice natural vibrato in it, too. Boy, I wish I had that. I have to make mine do it. I have to go, make mine do it. He just does it so natural. Good job, Jake. And a good song, too. I like that. I sure do. Learning to lean on Jesus. Well, get your Bibles out. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Page 1061, have a Scofield Bible this evening. Mark chapter number 11. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 20. Read down through verse number 26. If you find your place, I want to invite you to stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God. And then we'll pray, and I'll give you the message before we get around the altar to pray this evening. All right? Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse number 20. The Bible said, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God." Now that seems like a kind of an unusual answer. A pretty obvious question. You know what happened. They were going into Jerusalem and he was hungry and he wanted some figs and he went to the fig tree and it didn't have any fruit. It had leaves, no fruit. And so it was kind of out of season, or at least for that tree wasn't bearing. And of course he cursed it and it dried up. Now that is a picture. The fig tree there is a picture of Israel, how that it was God's people, but it wasn't bearing any fruit. And that's why God took his hand off of the nation of Israel nationally. Now, he doesn't take his hand. They're still God's people. And I've been reading in Isaiah in my morning devotion time, and Isaiah is full of prophecy concerning the restoration of Israel and Judah, and how God, the Bible talks about how all the world is going to marvel at Israel and how they're going to get the land back. And I mean, it's just great reading. When you read stuff like that, you wish you were a Jew. But I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Now, right now, a Jew has to get saved just like a Gentile. But still, in God's eternal plan, they are still considered God's chosen people. Now, understand that does not make them saved apart from Christ. It just means that God favors them because Abraham believed God. That's how it all got started. So Peter said, you know, the fig tree is withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever this mountain be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God and the great doctrinal lesson that we see, two of them in this passage. I'll really be speaking on one. But God, I'm grateful, God, that we can open up God's Word anywhere and find the message of God in it. So speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to have what the Bible, I believe, refers to as biblical faith. We love you and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a couple of thoughts on that idea, the power of biblical faith. Now, the reason Jesus answered Peter's question or comment the way he did was because it seems as though when someone answers something like this, and you'll notice that Jesus is not asking a question here. He's making a statement, have faith in God. But it looks to me like perhaps as the disciples and the Lord went in, the tree had leaves and fruit. Jesus cursed that tree to give them a picture of Israel. They come back and the tree is not only is it kind of the leaves, but it's withered to the root. I mean, it's not dead, but it's on a heart pump. I mean, it's in bad shape, you know. And so the whole point here is Jesus answers Peter not with a botany lesson on a tree and how it lives and dies. But really what he was saying was, Peter, I don't think you believed what I did. Because when they came back, it was Peter that spoke up and said, wait a minute, Lord, this tree's dead, or at least it's on its deathbed. That's when Jesus said, have faith in God. I thought about that, and I wrote down some things, and I want to give this to you tonight on the power of biblical faith. Now, we know what the Bible says about faith. First of all, here's when it talks about faith, having it. Well, genuine faith is a miracle. Genuine faith is a miracle. I was talking Monday night. I was down here at the front of the church after the service was over, talking to my brother who came to the service. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is like new to me. You know, the fact that he would travel all this way by himself to come to church when used to be he wouldn't drive 5 minutes to go to church. Years ago, he told me, he said, if you pastored close to where I lived, I'd come to church. I took a church 10 minutes from where he lived, and he never came to church. But now, man, I'm telling you, he makes me feel backslid because he wants to go to church all the time. I believe that's what happens when a person gets saved. I believe God puts in their heart to want to go to church. Amen. Hey, you can amen right here because you're here tonight. Amen. That's right. And so we're down here talking about that. And he was talking about the difference that being saved has made his life in 2 years. I said, thank God to that. You know, that's what being saved, isn't that what the Bible says? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So many people claim to know Christ, and some things may be a little different, but they just don't seem to exude real change that takes place. And it doesn't take place through knowledge. It doesn't take place through, obviously, church relationship or membership. It takes place when a person gets saved by grace through faith. And so anytime a person gets saved, and we all know this to be true, when a person comes to know the Lord, no matter where it is, that's a miracle. Because you and I are not born with faith. That's not something that you possess. And so genuine faith is a miracle. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Notice that God's Word is always connected to faith. We'll talk about being people of faith, you know. Well, they're an actor, an actress, and they've been in some pretty questionable movies. They're people, you know, they'll say, but she's a person of faith. Well, that could mean a thousand things. I guarantee you, by watching their life and hearing their politics and other things, you don't have much trouble understanding. They don't have the same kind of faith I have. They don't love God. Imagine those folks who are in the public eye. What an opportunity to witness. You don't ever hear it. You might once in a while, you know. You see a sports figure kind of point up to heaven, you know. And you know, they ruined Tim Tebow's career because I think he really meant it. It's the way the devil operates. But most of them don't mean what they're saying. Genuine faith is a miracle. The Bible tells us that we do not possess faith naturally. Ephesians 2:8. I've quoted it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then what's the next line? And that out of yourselves. You've got to understand how that grammar is put together there. I mean, the Bible talked about, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that grace, that faith, is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And then he qualifies, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's obvious that we do not possess faith naturally. After salvation, that's when God begins to meet to us or give to us a measure of faith. You ladies that bake or cook, you make something and you know how your family likes it, or you know you have an idea. And so what are you doing? You might add a little of this, or you want to try something a little different. You get a little burr under your saddle, you know. And so you try to put something else in there to make it taste better. And most of the time it works, every once in a while. I told you about a lady that made me some pita bread one year. And most she's so proud of that. I went home, took a big bite, and she had put salt instead of sugar in that bread. It looked perfect. It was the most beautiful banana bread. I slathered butter all over it, took a bite. I thought I was going to die. And I didn't. And it took me a minute to realize what happened. And I almost hated to tell her what happened. Well, of course, she cornered me at church that night and said, well, how was it? I said, well, all I'll say is I had a big glass of water after I ate it. And she said, and immediately it struck her. He said, oh, my goodness, did I put salt? I said, you sure did. I'm telling you, I think that's when my blood pressure got high, was that day when I ate that banana bread. I'm telling you, it was something else. But the thing you do is a lot of times you want to measure things because you don't want to overdo or underdo anything. Well, God in our life, when he gives us saving faith and then begins to mete out to us measures of other types of faith, and the Bible said it in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3, the Bible said, for I say through the grace given to me that every man that is among you, listen, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, when I wrote that down, it almost sounds like God is dealing cards. Of course, I don't think that's the case. But here's the thing. If you play cards and the person who deals, they don't throw all 52 cards at one person. They take the time, whatever game you're playing, to meet them out accordingly. And that's how it works. Well, here's God saving us and giving us faith. Now, how far do we want that faith to go? Well, that depends on what we want and how God deals it to us. Some people can handle a bigger measure of faith than other people can. Not that it's not that they're less qualified. It's not that they're not as good or not as knowledgeable. It's just that God knows the character and the personality of that individual. And so he deals it out. He meets it out accordingly. I think every time you do something for God, I think God is giving you a little bigger measure of faith every time. I believe that in my heart. Faith has allowed God's people to demonstrate God's power. For example, in Joshua 10, and you don't have to turn there for time's sake, you remember in Joshua 10 as they were about to fight the battle, and what happened? By faith, Joshua believed God, and the sun stood still. So that the Israelites, now listen, if God said to you today, I'm going to stop, now remember, The Bible refers to stopping the sun. What he really did was he stopped the earth from rotating for a little while. That's what he did. So it stopped and the day was there. I mean, and so there was daylight longer, and that's what God did. He told Joshua that. Now, can you imagine President Trump? He's the commander-in-chief. And he's telling us, okay, we're going to fight the Iranians. I hope that don't happen, but it could. But just for example, so if anybody's watching this, please don't, you know, run around and say that preacher, he's trying to preach politics. I'm just using an example. If he said, you know, we're going to fight the Iranians, and if he said, and I asked God how to proceed, and God said, Donald, I'm going to stop the earth long enough so that you can have an extra few hours a daylight to whoop them. Now, he claims to be a man of faith. But then when you listen to some of his speeches and some of the language he uses, have a little trouble with that. I guarantee you he would not just say okay to God. That's what Joshua did. Joshua believed God. Joshua saw parting of the Red Sea. Joshua saw turning that bitter water into sweet. Joshua saw God bring that water out of that rock. He saw all that. He said, well, what's that got to do with me? What have you seen God do for you? Anybody here ever seen God do anything for you? Have you seen God do something for somebody else? Oh, man. Listen, so then why would we not believe God? Of course, that depends on your quality, your qualification for a measure of faith. But faith is, we demonstrate his power. In Joshua 10, the sun stood still. In Isaiah 38, Hezekiah was given 15 more years to live. He believed God. He prayed to God. And remember what we read in the scripture where Jesus said, you know, what did he say in that verse? Let me find my place here. He said, and when you stand praying, therefore I say unto you in verse 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And here's what Jesus said, and ye shall receive them. Hezekiah said, Lord, I'm sick unto death. He turned to the wall. Now, and he prayed. He said, I'd like to live. And God, because of his faith, allowed him to live 15 more years. Now, he kind of went off the rails a little bit after that because he was told of the impending judgment on Israel. His response was so out of character for a Christian. And that is, God told Hezekiah, I'm going to bring judgment on Israel, your children, your grandchildren. I'm going to judge Israel. It's not going to be good. And Hezekiah's answer was, well, that's okay as long as it doesn't happen while I'm living. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. That's what he said. I mean, you know, that's just kind of a strange answer. And by the way, isn't it amazing when God really begins to work in people's lives, how they kind of sometimes do go off the rails? Think about Solomon. I mean, Solomon, all of his reign, there was no war in Israel. Never had to worry about fighting a battle. Was rich beyond belief, probably the richest person in the history of the human race, if use it in today's standards. He was wise. I mean, he was famous. And he messed it all up by marrying a bunch of women who were not, who had other gods. He wound up building temples. Let them worship other. I'm talking about Solomon, the one who wrote Ecclesiastes. He said, I tried everything. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And then what does he do? He vexes his own spirit by allowing those false gods after all that time. And God, I think God shortened his reign because of it. I really do. And so it's important that we recognize the power of faith. In Genesis 22, Abraham was willing to give Isaac, wasn't he? By faith. He's willing to do it. I believe that Abraham believed so much that he would have literally killed Isaac, believing that God would resurrect him. Because God never would condone or accept human sacrifice. Well, then why did he tell him to do it? He told him to do it to see if he would. That's all. And then in 1 Samuel 17, of course, David defeated Goliath. You got Daniel in the lion's den, three Hebrew boys. I tell you, it would take a lot of faith if you're getting thrown into a furnace after you just told the king, either way, we're going to get delivered. It's a lot of faith to talk that way. As Jesus cursed the fig tree, the next day, as I said, the fig trees dried up. Jesus wanted to teach the disciples what power faith has. Let me give you some verses and I'll just give you a couple thoughts. We're going to get done in plenty of time to get around the altar. Here's what we need to know about faith. First of all, we need to appreciate our faith. You appreciate faith? Are you thankful for it? Every morning, I make sure I'm thanking God for saving me. And I do it several times, but in the mornings, I'm telling you, before I do anything else, I'm thanking God for saving me. And I'm thanking Him for faith. And I'm thanking him not only for the faith that got me saved, I'm thanking him for the faith that's going to get me through the day. Because guess what, folks? You can just about mark it down. Something is going to happen in your life in the day that you are going to need that faith. And it's all, aren't you more willing to do anything for anyone if they're grateful? I mean, I don't mind helping people. I want to, you know, I know you don't do it for that reason. But, you know, if you're doing things for someone and they never bother to be thankful, never say thank you. After a while, that's going to get on your nerves. I'm telling you, I believe it gets on God's nerves. I sure do. God responds to the ingratitude. God responds in judgment to unthankfulness. And so we need to appreciate our faith. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, what does that word everything mean? There you go. In the Greek, the Hebrew, the Latin, and the Pig Latin. Everything means everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I said, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. Here's part of it. You don't even have to ask. You may have to pray for God's will in how your life, the direction your life might go. But here's God saying, there's two things that God said that I know of that's His will. Number one, that we be thankful. And number two, that we be a witness. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to ask God, should I? Because the Bible connects those things to the will of God for our lives. And so we need to appreciate our faith. But then we need to appropriate or use our faith. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Bible said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know what sight is? That's trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, listen, and the evidence of things not. He said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen, believe. Remember when he questioned if that was the Lord or not? And he wanted to touch the scars and put his hand in his side. He didn't get that far. But as he heard his voice, he said, my Lord and my God. But Jesus was standing in front of him. And he said, Thomas, blessed art thou, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. He said, blessed are they who believe who have not seen. That's me. That's you. Anybody here seen Jesus? Us. Hey, I'm glad. Thank God that faith is the substance of things for. And so we need to appropriate our faith. And then we need to approximate our faith. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The scripture in Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Here it is. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. A lot of people today, and there may be some right here, who are living their Christian life around God. You know, they always want God to be around. You know? I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And I, you know, how many times, let me ask you a question. Now, this is something that I've done so many times, I'm embarrassed to even say it. I don't even know the count. How many times have you ever done something and then asked God to bless it? Huh? Ever done that? I have. I'm guilty of that. So many times. I convince myself it was God's will. Then I go ahead and do it and then I find out it wasn't. I said, well, maybe you just need a little more faith. No, I needed to ask first. What did Jesus say about that very thing? He said, when you pray, he said, ask. He didn't say, go ahead and do it and then we'll see what happens. Because listen to me, folks, God is never going to, God is never going to acquiesce to your will, your life. He's never going to just say, oh, well, they've done it now, so they're my child, so I've got to bless that. God doesn't operate that way. You know what that shows? A lack. When you try to make it happen without trusting God, and then you have a lacking faith. So the Bible talks about approximating our faith, making sure that it's not just around, but that it is part of us. Christ liveth in me. All right, y'all tired? Am I not getting through? Listen, Monday was so good. I feel like I'm the finishing act at the karaoke place. You know, nobody wants to hear me sing off key anything. You know. Let me give this to you, and then we're going to pray. It's 15 till. Give me 10 minutes. We'll get up the altar at 5 till. I told God, you got to help me do this. Look at verse 22 of the text real quickly in Mark 11. Notice the object of biblical faith. The object of biblical faith. When the disciples were amazed at the withered fig tree, look what Jesus said. As I mentioned, he didn't give them a botany lesson. He didn't give them a biology lesson. He said, have faith in God. Now, most people would not connect faith with a dead or dying tree. But there was a point there. There was a moral to that story. There was a reason. Jesus was trying to teach them about how Israel would die Oh, they still have the name. They still have the Star of David on their flag. And God does, in fact, watch over them. But they're not what they ought to be because they rejected Christ. They look right. They're not right. Listen, in the New Testament church, there's a lot of people that go to church that look right on Sunday. They sure act like they're dying the rest of the week. And they look like they don't look too good. Come on now. Hey, have faith in God. We have to have faith in God's person. What's an object? That's what you're aiming at. That's what you're looking to. That's what you're describing or talking about. Something, someone, or somewhere. The object of our faith is not somewhere. Heaven is not the object of our faith. That's the result of our faith. Having a blessed life is not the object of our faith. That's the result of our faith. The object of our faith is the person of Jesus Christ. It's also the promises of Jesus Christ. And here we find it right here. What did he say? He said, I say unto you. Could he be more direct? I say unto you, verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Can I ask you something else real quick? I wonder if you'll be honest about this. How many of you have ever gone to the mountains and look at one and say, move? Well, there's three or four honest people in here. Every time I go up 26 towards Hendersonville or up that, and I'm going in my, I mean, I'm telling you. Now, I don't do it anymore because I realize now that I'm just being stupid, you know, because I don't really want it to happen. But every time I do that, you know, and I think, well, I knew that wouldn't happen. Of course it's not going to happen because what does it say? I doubted that it would happen. In fact, I was just doing it, I just did it out of ignorance. But I'm telling you, if Jesus himself said, I say unto you, if you say to a mountain, be thou removed, and doubt it not, it will move. What he said? Is he lying? Does Jesus lie? No. Is this God's word? It's not a word. It is the word of God. And he said this. He said, I say unto you. That's about as direct as it can get. Having faith in God's object, he's the person. Having faith in God's promises. Having faith in God's promises to answer our prayers. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 9 says. And I wrote these down so I wouldn't have to get you to turn for time's sake. Listen to what the Bible said. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and this is what God's words are, and he shall say, here I am. Can you imagine? I mean, God giving us enough faith to literally take everything to him, and when we do, he literally answers, I'm right here. I mean, God is conversing. Our faith in God allows us to converse with God. Are you getting that? I'm not talking about, you know, these and thous and the where to. I'm talking about you, by faith, can converse with God just like all of you were doing before the service started. Talking and laughing and just, you know, fellowship. God's into that. And the world thinks they're doing that when something happens in our cause, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not conversing with God. You know what Paul called that? Vain babbling. Vain words. You and I have, by faith, God has allowed us the opportunity and the privilege to converse with him. And a conversation is always two-sided. We talk to him, and guess what he'll do? Talk back. Maybe not audibly. I don't know about you, but I've had God speak to me in my heart, and I understood where it was coming from. Or I'd read it in God's word and knew it was coming from there. Having faith. You cannot have faith that God will do something which there is no biblical promise. God's not going to do something for you if it's not in the Word of God. That's why he said, when you pray, make sure you pray, not my will, thine be done. Prayer is our chance to demonstrate confidence in God's Word, in his power, his person, and his promises. Then notice the opportunities of biblical faith, verse 23 and 24, real quickly. They allow us to believe the impossible. It talks about moving mountains. Now, again, we kind of get the idea there that if that was really what God wanted us to do and we believed it would happen. What's the Lord really telling us? You are going to have situations in your life that are going to seem like you can't move them, right? You ever been up against something and thought, you know what, I don't know what else to do. Preacher, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything to reach this person, or this thing in my life has stopped me cold. I don't know what to do. Jesus said, I say unto you, if you'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, and do not doubt. He's saying, if you've got something in your life that you realize you cannot handle, man, bring it to me because I can move that mountain. Or can give you the strength to get over it. Amen? That's all part of that measure of faith that He gives to us. Faith in God allows us to believe Him in the impossible situations of life. Biblical faith allows us to believe the impossible. It also allows us to receive the impossible. I wonder how many times God has tried to do something for us, and we were so amazed by it that we didn't even let Him give it to us. That's too good to be true. Listen, if somebody calls you on the phone, tells you that they're going to give you, you know, $1 million if you send them $500, that's too good to be true. Because it's not true. It's a scam, right? Can anybody show me anywhere, anytime in the Bible or in human history where God ever scammed anybody? No, He hasn't. That would be blasphemy, wouldn't it? I believe it would be blasphemy. Listen, it allows us to, when God does do something good, they're able to say, the world says, thank you for what? Because they don't recognize it. But we do. And God answers a prayer and pays a bill or meets a need or saves somebody or provides somebody else that we've prayed for with whatever. And say, thank you, God. Everybody else say, well, you know, they got that job because they were qualified. They got that job because we said, Lord, that person needs. But you know how many times I've prayed that prayer and God answered that prayer, and when that happened, those people got unfaithful. I can't tell you how many times people would come to the altar weeping. Oh, I need this, I need that. Oh, we'd pray for days and weeks, sometimes months. I don't know if I told you this, but we had a young man in our church who, before he says he got saved, he's a drunk. I mean, he's a bad drunk. His liver was gone with sclerosis of the liver. And says he got saved, and he'd come to church, and he's faithful, and he'd come to things, and really, I believe he's saved. And so we started praying, God, he needs to get well. And the doctor said, there's nothing we can do. We're going to put him on the list, transplant list, but he's way down the list, you know. And so we started praying. Do you remember this? Started praying, Oh, my, we just weep at the altar and pray, this young man. And one day, I got a phone call. He said, preacher, guess what? He said, I don't know how it happened. He said, but I was like 40th on the list, and they moved me up to second. Now, and he said, unfortunately, the first person passed away. I'm now number one, and they just called me and said, they have a liver for me. Oh, we shouted, praise God. I went to the hospital, prayed, sat there through the whole thing. He'd come out wide open. 6 months later, he died from cirrhosis of the second liver because he quit serving God and started drinking again. You know what he told his brother? His brother told me this. He told his brother, now that I got a new liver, I can do it all over again and drink all I want. He lived 6 months. A brand new liver. What he did? Flaunted it in God's face. Hey, folks, that's the wrong kind of faith to have. You have to allow Him to receive the impossible. Maybe the last thing, and I'm through. Notice the obstacles. The object of our faith is Him. Opportunities of our faith is for Him to do and us to receive the impossible thing. But then the last thing is the obstacles of faith, where Jesus said, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, and you shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Notice how he's connecting. In Matthew, he talks about how if you go to the altar, bring your gift. He said, if you got aught against somebody, you leave your gift at the altar, you go make it right, come back and give me your gift. And God is very, very, very serious about forgiveness. What's an obstacle? What are obstacles of faith? While faith in God allows us to experience incredible things, our faith can be interrupted or hindered. And these are simple. I'll give them to you and I'm done. Unbelief. People call it doubt. A lot of people say they doubt their salvation when really they're not saved to start with. I'm not saying that a person can't doubt their salvation, but not for years and years and years. When I first got saved and I was trying to grow in the Lord, and you know, anybody here just perfectly saved when you got saved? We all had sort of grow in grace and kind of, you know, we had to commit to some things and do away with, you know, that's all part of that salvation experience. And so probably the first year after I got saved, I was 17 years old, probably doubted it a few times, you know, because I would say things or do things or think things, and the devil would instantly tell me a Christian wouldn't do like that. And I'd start to doubt. Well, boy, then I just started getting at the altar and saying, Lord, you're going to have to settle this thing with me because it would drive you nuts. I got in the Word of God, and I found out where the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. And anybody here that's ever heard me or seen me deal with somebody, when I get to that verse, I always say to them, I say, read that to me. They'll say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord? And I said, is that they might be, could be, hope to be? It says, shall be. And then when we get done, I say, now tell me what God did. He saved me. How you know? Here's what I'm waiting to hear. Because the Word of God. When God settled that with me, I've never doubted my salvation since. Now, have I been a perfect Christian? No, and neither have you. That doesn't change anything, really. It changes our fellowship with God. It sure doesn't take our family ship away. That's right. Unbelief can be an obstacle. Selfishness can be an obstacle. And of course, the Bible talks about unforgiveness as being an obstacle. Listen, if you're carrying any kind of a grudge at all, you got to get rid of that thing. It'll lead to bitterness. And even the root of bitterness has potential. I said, well, I kind of feel bad towards somebody, but I'm not going to let it control my life. You know what a root does after a while? It starts to take over. Hive root. You say, look at that beautiful tree. Well, guess what is really keeping that tree alive? Roots. That root of bitterness, you think you've got it buried. If you don't get rid of whatever that is, dig up that root and kill it, someday that thing's going to take over. And it's going to so surprise you until you won't know how to respond. Many people just walk away from God because they get bitter because they didn't realize all they had to do was kill it. Have faith. You got to believe God can do that for you. So when you go out here tonight, you go to school tomorrow, go to work, whatever you're doing tomorrow, have faith in God. And your faith is powerful. It has something. Let God provide your need. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, in a moment we're going to get around the altar. I said I'd try to get done. It's 8 o'clock on the button, so I'm a couple of minutes late, but we wanted to give ourselves a few minutes to pray.
And so, Lord, I pray that in just the next 2 minutes, Lord, if folks will be all right, we get around the altar and we'll spend some time with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's get around the altar tonight.